So hello everyone and welcome to This Week in Crypto. On this episode, I have Mo Dong. He's the co-founder of Seller Network, layer 2 off-chain scalability platform. Mo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite, Jose. It's really nice to be here.
So can you give us an overview of Seller Network?
Yeah, for sure. So Seller is this unified and coherent layer 2 scaling platform that combines multiple layer 2 scaling technologies, including state channel, sidechains, proof of stake sidechains, and also very recently we have been expanding to the roll-up construct, optimistic roll-up construct with full EVM compatibility. And that's a kind of overview of what Seller is. And what we're aiming to do here is to provide a very coherent and unified framework for the dApp developers to build their applications on layer 2 with different kind of trade-off, very easily and tunable trade-offs using different kind of underlying technology pieces. So we're trying to unify these things together as a kind of unified framework here.
Great. And so Seller is known for being an off-chain scalability platform. Can you compare Seller to something like Matic and Node Checkpoints and sort of compare the two solutions?
Yeah, I mean, in general, there are a lot of layer 2 scaling solutions. And, the general theme of any layer 2 scaling solution is to, do most of the computing off-chain and do most of the storage off-chain and only use on-chain checkpoint to do things. And, before we jump into some of the more recent projects, there is also Lightning, there's Radend, and these are all layer 2 projects. And, comparing to Lightning and Radend, it's pretty straightforward, meaning that we are a platform that provide the functionality additional to just a simple payment, but we can also do smart contract transactions and real-time zero-cost smart contract transactions on the platform. So that's the difference between Lightning and Radend. You can think of one analogy I always use is if we are comparing Ethereum to Bitcoin, it's like if we compare Seller to Lightning, for example, or Seller to Radend, it's like comparing Ethereum to Bitcoin. It's kind of both are kind of on the same layer, but we introduce the functionality to do smart contract. Now, for Matic, Matic is our good friends and also working on layer 2 scaling platform. And, they have been using a Plasma-based construct. As the industry have get to know that the Plasma has various challenges, but also they're kind of augmenting on top of Plasma a DPoS-based sidechain as well to process some of the smart contract transactions and process some of the transactions on the Plasma layer that is not smart contract-based. So we're taking a different route in the anchoring point for the layer 1 blockchain. We're using optimistic rollup or a variant of optimistic rollup. So the underlying kind of a technology is a little bit different. There has some trade-off, but like I think a lot of the community is converging towards the optimistic roll-up right now. And in addition to that, we also combine a generalized state channel technology, which has been our focus from the very beginning, and to allow this kind of real-time instant interaction between different users with absolutely zero transaction fee. And that's something that is only available in the Seller platform as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving off-chain definitely gets rid of many of the costs that you incur while doing transactions on-chain. Can you share what type of transactions are recommended for off-chain versus on-chain? An example is like if I want to send $1 million in Ethereum, I want that to be, or any other token, I want that to be like finalized on-chain. What are the applications for off-chain transactions? Are they sort of smaller transactions that shouldn't be finalized?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think a lot of layer 2 scaling, first and foremost, has the same security guarantee as layer 1 scaling. That's what we are aiming for, except for some small subset of the solution like POS sidechains. That will definitely have different kind of scalability and also security assumption of the layer 1 blockchain. Let's say if it is a POS blockchain or POS sidechain, the security level is definitely much less than the layer 1 chain. But if we're using optimistic rollup or state channels, the security level is the same. Now, in terms of what kind of transaction should occur on layer 2, it really depends on the technology or techniques that we choose to use. If it is a state channel, for example, generalized state channel, the best kind of transaction it can handle is this kind of really interactive micropayment, pay by byte, or this kind of interactive game transactions where you are interacting with other people in real time. And these kind of transactions will be extremely suitable for state channels. And then, you know, for optimistic rollup, a trade-off a little bit of latency to a huge deduction in cost and a huge improvement in throughput, and without any loss of generality of EVM compatibility, basically. So for optimistic rollup, you can pretty much do anything like a decentralized exchange, like DeFi, lending protocol. You can run lending protocol for sure on optimistic rollup construct with no problem. And these things can definitely be run on layer two. Now, going forward, if you're looking forward into the future, there is a trend that some of the storage part of the layer two, the incentive of the storage might be different from the incentive of storage in layer one. So if you want to kind of have the current storage model where you kind of store your data or your kind of transaction or your balance for certain tokens or asset permanently without any kind of a worrying, on-chain or without any kind of other kind of a payment model, you can do this on layer one. Otherwise, we're actually pretty believed in a layer two future, meaning like most of the transactions and most of the logics will actually happen on layer two instead of layer one. Layer one will be the anchoring point and a binding point to ensure the security and to do kind of the surrounding utility transactions for the layer ones.
Great. So I've heard you mention that everything is off-chain and should remain on off-chain until there's some sort of dispute. You've compared it to sort of the court system in a country when everything's good until there's a dispute, and then you have something like dispute resolution. So can you explain a little bit about how dispute resolution works on Stellar Network?
Yeah. So for the state channel part, there is something called a state guardian network that is watching the state for the different users when they goes offline. So if there's any dispute that happened against any user, the state guardian network will dispute with whatever is the most recent state off-chain, basically. So let's say you and I are playing a chess game and we're making moves and interactive moves. And let's say one party, I'm the malicious guy here, I'm the bad guy here, and I try to establish or try to start a dispute on chain saying that you lost the game. But obviously this is not the most recent state mutually signed by both of us. And the state guardian network or you can actually dispute through a dispute contract with Bond, basically saying like, okay, he's saying that I lost the game, but this is actually the most recent state that are mutually signed by both of us. And this is actually saying that I didn't lose the game. So, I'm actually willing to put my statement, with a certain bond. If I turn out to be lying, I will be forfeited with a bond. So, for example, that is one way of disputing in layer two. And another path to dispute, if we're talking about optimistic rollup, is to challenge the block validity or to challenge the state transition validity of like two transactions. So for optimistic rollup, you're constantly committing this kind of a small state transition point along with all the call data that made the state transition points possible, right? So basically you're saying that, okay, this is the Merkle root of state one, and then there's our call data, and then this is the Merkle root of state two. And with some metadata like storage access list and all that stuff. And you have a on-chain evaluator contract that will be able to take the Merkle root of state one along with some witness data, and then the call data, and then to try to check whether it will actually end up in the second state that you, the block proposer claims that it will end up to. So this is a kind of another arbitration process. But overall, the arbitration process is basically working like, you have some disagreement on chain, off chain, but you retained all the evidence needed to testify who is actually correct. And then you rely on some on-chain smart contract, by combining the off-chain data with this on-chain smart contract to judge who is actually at fault. So, and whoever is at fault will lose money in the dispute and challenge process. Whoever is right will gain, the incentive, and at the same time, not lost anything.
Great. So this is one of the challenges of having something off-chain is that you might have disputes because of different disputes over the state of the channel when somebody goes offline, and so you have the guardian state channels to sort of mediate that. Can you tell us about some of the other challenges that you had to overcome when doing off-chain layer 2 scaling?
I think other challenges, let's see.
Like liquidity?
Another kind of challenge is that, for all kind of layer 2 protocols, you have to have a certain bond to do the challenge or to do kind of the proposal of the blocks. And, in general, layer 2 crypto economics is something that is very interesting and very under-researched. Just to take an example here, for example, in the optimistic roll-up approach, the community basically knows how to make this thing very EVM compatible and very, very flexible. But one thing that is not fully solved yet, I think, is like, what's the incentive structure for the block producer, right? So when the block producer produces a block to the blockchain, what's the incentive for him? And how should we maintain trustworthiness of this producer, at the same time gave him enough incentive to relay the block and without any kind of censorship concerns? So there are various different approaches proposed by different teams. Optimism proposed something called a minor extractable value auction, MEV auction. For example, Off-Chain Labs is using this kind of on-chain inbox combined with a kind of a off-chain sequencer to solve this censorship problem. But for us, we provide a very innovative way to solve this problem by reusing the state guardian network that is already available in the state channel network, so that the state guardian network will be relaying the transactions for the optimistic roll-up directly to the on-chain or to the layer one world. And that solves a censorship problem, that solves the incentive problem for the block producer, and that solves the storage incentive problem for the block producer, all in a single package. So basically, whoever can stake Stellar token into the state guardian network will not only be able to monitor the state for the state channels, but also will become and be acting as the block producer for the optimistic rollup constructs.
Great. I think I read recently that you guys were working on a testnet for a hybrid proof of stake rollup sidechain. Is that what you've been describing as the optimistic rollup?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, the POS rollup is something like that. So you have the, I have a whiteboard there, so I might just draw. So what you can have here is you can have basically three layers of layer 2 construct. It's not that clear. So, in the lowest layer, what you can have is you can have optimistic rollup, okay? And then in the middle, you can have a POS sidechain that is acting as the block producer of the optimistic rollup. But at the same time, it can also process EVM-based transactions or EVM execution directly on the POS layer if you don't want the ultimate security ensured by the optimistic rollup. And on top of that, you have state channel that can plug into both of these parts here. Like basically you can have state channel to plug into the proof of stake side and also can plug into the off-chain zero up side if you want to process this kind of a super real-time and interactive transactions. So that's kind of what we say a holistic approach. We have been focusing on the state channel part. And for this POS layer, this is the SGN, the State Guardian Network that we have been working on. And then, the SGN, have the EVM capability and also have the capability to relay, blocks to the optimistic rollup here. And the optimistic rollup here is not assuming any kind of a security guarantee from the POS layer, and still retains like trust any security assumption. Even if the POS layer's security assumption fails completely or the consensus fails completely, it can still ensure 100% a security on the optimistic rollup side.
Great. And there's tons of work happening on optimistic rollup. I'll add some links in the description or on the tweet thread below if you guys want to learn more about that. Something that I glanced over is going over the Stellar Network C-Stack. Can you tell me a little bit about your architecture in a three-layer stack, which includes CRoot, COS, which is your operating system, and C-Channel?
Yeah, for sure. So that diagram is a little bit outdated, though. The diagram is mainly focusing on the state channel side of things. For the state channel, inside of the state channel construct, we have the lowest state smart contract layer that is kind of acting as the driver for the state channel and also kind of the dispute and arbitration layer. And then on top of that, it is a system layer, basically how different state channel nodes communicate with each other to make very fast and real-time interactive free transactions. And then on top of that, it is the user interface and also the developer SDK to provide developer an easy way to develop the state channel-based applications. So that's kind of like the three layer. But now, like as we just draw here, Stellar Network has extended to a much wider scope that is focusing on a combination of three technologies, including proof of stake, EVM-based sidechain, and EVM-compatible optimistic rollup and state channel, all combining one and one interface towards the application developer, the app developers.
Great, and you also have some SDKs available for game developers, and you guys have released Stellar X, which has different games that are built on top of these scalability solutions. Can you tell us why your focus has been on game developers?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in the early, I think this is kind of interesting because what we have been thinking here is that as platform developers or as platform builders, we shouldn't be only looking at, we have a very generic platform and you can just use the platform however you want, but also help industry to identify what is a niche market that makes sense for the blockchain technology to grow and to set root, right? So we have to have this very solid root in a particular niche market to kind of have a very solid product on both user side and also on developer side to boost the growth of a particular kind of ecosystem, in this case, Stellar's ecosystem. And the reason that we chose to start with the gaming side and specifically a gaming niche called skill-based real money gaming. This is very different from many of the blockchain gaming sectors where the focus is on non-fungible tokens. We're focusing on entirely different a sector or an entirely different vector. It's called a skill-based real money gaming. So what that means is that basically people can compete with each other in this skill-based games. And these games are not like very hard. You can think of them as Candy Crush, Tetris-like games, Solitaire even, and Bubble Shooter and these kind of games, and chess games and however kind of a board games that you can think of. And when users are competing in these games, and they can win prizes against each other and win prizes in tournaments. So that's how the skill-based real money game works. Now, why did we choose this particular sector? Well, it is because, first of all, it's in itself, it's a fast-growing business sector, even without a blockchain. The skill-based gaming sector is growing about 50 times per year, year over year, in the US and also in the world. And, we are seeing very strong growth just outside of the blockchain sector and the blockchain systems. Now, you might ask, okay, so that is a good business. And, there is a clear business model where basically, let's say I'm paying $1 into the game and you're paying $1 into the game and the winner gets $1.7 and 30 cents gets split between us and also developers, for example. And, that's also a very pretty clear business model. Now, where does blockchain come in all of this, right? So like what's the advantage of Stellar and where is a competitive advantage and how are we changing the industry using blockchain technology? Well, in this industry, there is a very distinct nature here that is that the payment processing overhead and the payment processing fee is very high. And it's only a level of tens of even 20%. So that's extremely high fee right there. Now, what we know what blockchain is good at. Blockchain is good at reducing the trust costs, reducing the financial friction of the traditional market and the traditional financial institutions. And that's why we're like choosing this target to enter in, because when users are using blockchain or cryptocurrency like Ethereum to do the payment inside of the state channel, first thing is that they get the benefit of blockchain, which is extremely low cost payment processing comparing to traditional means. And second, they get the benefit of Stellar, which is you don't have the traditional blockchain niche blockchain feeling of an app where you need to wait for 1 minute to get the block confirmation and you need to deal with the concept of the gas fee and all that stuff. All of the stuff is hidden away from the user because of the layer 2 scaling technology we built. So that gave us a special advantage in that particular business sector, which is extremely fast growing without blockchain, but can solve, blockchain technology and specifically Stellar can solve important challenges and reduce operation costs in that particular business sector. And that's why we launched this. And in addition, as you mentioned, we have an SDK that is specifically targeting the game developers, right? So our SDK approach is also very different from many existing projects. Our SDK approach is to not approach blockchain developers directly, but approach traditional non-blockchain developers to bring them into the blockchain ecosystem. And the target we choose is those game developers. We package the StellarX gaming developer SDK up and removed all the blockchainness from this. So all they need is just to add two lines of code and spend 10 minutes of their time. A common game developer will be able to integrate StellarX's skill-based real money matching and tournament functionality into their game and allow them to use this toolset as a monetization path that is have no conflict with their existing monetization path of advertisement or do anything like that. So this is how we're growing a sustainable kind of developer base. And on both end, I think we're doing pretty well here because on the developer side, we are getting a very high and positive kind of return for the developers comparing to some other channels that they usually use. For example, if you publish a free-to-play game, these days, the only and the main kind of a monetization path you use is actually advertisement. But because we are offering this new kind of pay to compete and pay to play esport game. People can kind of, whenever there's a kind of a transaction fee happened, the developer will get a cut inside of this. And we're seeing about 5 times higher return comparing to some of the other monetization paths that these developers usually choose. And therefore, we can start to build this very sustainable developer ecosystem from this one sector. And from this one sector, then we'll be able to grow into more different sectors and more different kind of verticals. We're trying to take the blockchain technology across the chasm by identifying a very, very specific niche for the adoption, and from there expand to a much broader world.
Great. So state channels are really make a really great use case for game developers because of very low latency and extremely low transactions cost, which enable for many microtransactions. So StellarX is your application that you guys have lots of these types of games where you can sort of stake to play, and then the funds get split up amongst the winners. Is StellarX your in-house platform, your in-house games? Are these games built in-house to show what's possible with Stellar Network?
So I wouldn't say it's kind of built to just to show what's possible. It definitely shows what's possible with Stellar, but it's also provide a strong route for developer adoption because all these games that you see today in StellarX is actually built by third-party developers. And they're using the StellarX today as a monetization tool, and they're doing very well, comparing to their traditional monetization paths of advertisement, of in-app purchases. It's very simple monetization tool, you just plug in your game, listed in the server, and off you go. You can just start to gain revenue immediately. And that's something that has never been possible before.
Great. And SellerX was one of the first blockchain-based gaming applications on the App Store. So congratulations for that. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the other applications that developers are building with Seller?
Yeah, absolutely. So, there are a lot of different vectors that you can use Seller's technology, including micropayments, pay-per-use, highly efficient and non-cost audio exchanges. So for example, you can kind of open a state channel with your exchange provider. The exchange itself is still fully centralized, but at the same time, you have the capability to very fast deposit and withdraw and do exchanges without actually having the exchange to cost audio your phone. So everything is happening in a transient mode, and that significantly improves the security level of the exchange and also lowers the liability of the cost audio liability, which the exchange get hacked all the time. on top of that, we have the optimistic rollout constructor coming up with full EVM support. So interesting applications like DeFi, like asset tokenization, and all these use cases that are possible and available in the layer one can also be very easily ported to the new construct that we have without any modification of code. So that's a very exciting path we're looking forward to.
Great. And something very interesting about Seller Network is that it's a layer two scaling solution, not just for Ethereum, but it's you guys have multi-chain support. Can you tell us about some of the partnerships you have in the space and some of the blockchains you support? I saw recently you're just adding support for Polkadot.
Yeah. So from day one, we have realized that layer two is going to be as important as layer one. Right, so this is going to be a layer one blockchain, and then you have a layer two system that is also overarching and connecting to different kind of layer ones, and also possibly allowing interoperability between all those layer one blockchains. So from our entire engineering approach, we have been meticulously designing the engineering system in a way that it is able to handle multiple blockchains with a single unified framework, single unified data structure. We use Protobuf for everything. So, plugging into different platforms or different blockchain systems is just like analogy I always use is like writing kind of a hardware driver. That's kind of like how you do it. Kind of you can think of all these smart contracts that we plug into different smart blockchains will be how we are plugging into these kind of different smart contracts and layer one blockchain systems. So we have been collaborating with a lot of blockchain ecosystems, including Polkadot, as you mentioned very recently, and also Neo blockchain and Nervos. And Quantum, many other upcoming blockchains as well. For all the EVM compatible blockchains, we are of course by nature support them very easily. So the way that we are choosing and selecting different kind of a blockchain system is by looking at the underlying construct. So we want to see, for cross-chain theme, right? So there's a Polkadot on the cross-chain and interoperability theme. We want to kind of have our footprint there to basically see that, Seller become one of the layer two, solutions that is having multiple footprints in multiple key kind of directions of the layer one blockchains. This is how we are kind of approaching this.
Great. And for listeners, I hope you guys learned about Seller Network. If you want to build on top of Seller Network layer two, of course, you can choose which underlying blockchain to build on. Just be sure to check out Seller Network. It's tagged on this tweet. And also, I believe it's seller.network is your site.
That's right, seller.network. And if you want to just experience what Seller's technology can do, you can also download the app called Seller X. So it's a Seller with an X in App Store. I can just search it very easily.
Great. And at this part of the show, I'd like to go into the background of Stellar Network and your background as well, Mo. So can you tell us about when Stellar Network was formed? And you guys recently went into mainnet with an IEO. So can you give us a little background about your history?
Yeah, sure. We were founded early 2018. For me, my background is I was born and raised in Shanghai. And went to study in the U.S. For computer science, and I got my PhD in UIUC in decentralized system and distributed networking. That's kind of like my thing, blockchain, right? So it's blockchain is on that technology arena, and my research has been in high performance networking systems. During my PhD time, and also like shortly after that. I collaborated with my advisor on a startup that is a networking security startup that I got acquired by VMware. I started set up with a couple of my friends start to do the blockchain scaling, because we really, really believe that blockchain scaling is going to be the key thing here to bridge this awesome technology that can change how people think and how financial transactions are conducted to the actual mainstream and mainstream adoption. So that's our goal. Like as our slogan says, bring mass adoption to blockchain. That's our goal. And kind of a quick background of me myself.
Great. And what about Stellar Network? When did you guys go, or how long have you guys been on mainnet?
Yeah. So Stellar Network, we launched the mainnet. Last July, the first version of the mainnet, and we have been running this without any downtime since then. We have a lot of tests and a lot of iterations in between, and then we just launched a new version of the mainnet called Lyra mainnet this February and in the last East Denver conference. And that is very well received by the community. A lot of people liked our tweet of the release. And one major thing we released is that we released for the first time in the world the open source version of software for the state channel network full node. This marks literally the world first multi-hop enabled state channel network that is being released. And we want to note that the software is a highly production quality. You can just run this in a 10 megabit memory machine. Literally, anything have 10 mics of memory these days. You can sustain a 1,000 concurrent client connections with just like a micro instance that costs $60 to run for a full year. So the next step is very exciting for us. We're expanding the network, and we're hoping to quickly exceed the level of expansion and achieve the level of success that were not possible for some of the layer two systems like Lightning Network. And of course, we are also pushing on the optimistic rollup side to enable more kind of application use cases on top of Stellar.
Great. And going back really quickly, when you did your main launch in July, can you tell us a little bit about the experience of doing an IEO with Binance? I haven't had a project that has done an IEO on the show before. Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience was like and how much you raised?
Yeah, so I think we raised $4 million from the Binance IEO, and that was a really good experience. Binance team did a really good job in collaborating with us. The process of the raise has a lot of rigor, has a lot of due diligence went into it, and we appreciate the Binance team's help and assistance along the way. And it gives us a quick access to the community, and help to bootstrap the awareness and also the sustainable developer ecosystem for Stellar. So it's a very good experience.
Great. And you were recently at a roll-up meetup. There was a lot of people from the Ethereum community. Vitalik was there. Can you tell us how that went?
Yeah, it was like, I think that meetup, I think you're talking about the Stanford Blockchain conference one. I was there, and that's pretty much the entire roll-up board. if you may, like, you know, sitting at one table. I think we all know that, okay, so the roll up is going to be a pretty big thing, and it's cutting edge, it's bleeding edge, it's new. And there are a lot of new issues to be solved, including what should be the VM execution environment, what are some of the trade-offs that are available there. You know, should you do interactive challenge, should you do one run the challenge? What's a good, crypto economic incentive structure for the block producers? And there are a lot of discussion happen on the table. And I think the most important takeaway that we had from this meetup is that we have a much better understanding between each other in terms of like how we differ and, what are some of the potential common structures and common goods or common public goods, you may say, that we can collectively work on to push the roll up community forward faster realize the potential and help Ethereum to grow. That is obviously very, very much Ethereum focused meetup. And, we have been in the Ethereum community from day one. And then, this has been, I would say, so far the most exciting blockchain community that we have witnessed. We are very excited to see that the community is, getting together and talking about what are some of the things that we can collaborate on and push forward together, join hands, achieve mass adoption faster. So that's very, very good.
Great to see the community working together on this. And for the seller community, are there any updates you have? Are you guys going to be at the ECC event and as well as I think it's Ethereal Summit?
We're going to be at the Ethereal Summit and ECC this year. Traveling is a little bit tricky with all the virus breaking up and all that outbreak and all that stuff. We are also going to be at GDC, Game Developer Conference, in San Francisco, which is one of the major game developer conference. And we're trying, again, like here, there's probably like very little blockchain developer presence there. And we're trying to kind of bring the blockchain, technology and the Cedar Access SDK to the mass adoption, mainstream adoption.
Great. And for the listeners, be sure to subscribe to This Week in Crypto, anywhere you podcast, and to our newsletter. We'll have a summary of this episode available and sent out. Just go to head over to weekincrypto.substack.com. And Mo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jose. This has been great.